section and each chapter of Matthew as we continue to go along. We're today in Matthew chapter 8, and we'll look at between verses 1 to 17. I enjoy this sort of preaching style where you just look at different chapters, you know, because it kind of means that you don't get to choose what you've got to preach on. You kind of sit with the chapter each week and you go, what is God wanting to reveal this week? What is God wanting to speak into the church this week based on this chapter that was kind of randomly placed on this Sunday? And this is where we sit here in Matthew chapter 8. We've reached a point in the ministry of Jesus. He's now got a significant public presence in the community. He's in an era of significant public ministry. There are hundreds and potentially thousands of people that are starting to know him, that are starting to engage him. People are hearing what's happening with Jesus. And they're finding and they're asking and there's people coming. And a significant part of his ministry, the ministry of Jesus that continues to be today, is a ministry of healing. And this is where we get today. You see, verse 16 says, many who come were released from demon possession and sickness. Demon possessed were brought to him. He drove out spirits with the word of God and healed all the sick. He said that this is part of his ministry. This is a key part of the ministry of the Messiah, is that he would take up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. It was key to the ministry of Jesus, our Messiah. You see, sickness and possession and oppression was never in the plan of Jesus. It was never in God's creation. It was never part of the plan here on this earth. This is foreign. This is a result of disobedience, a result of sin or the sickness and pain. It was never part of God's plan. And so when God knows the pain that you're going through, when you're experiencing and going through various different struggles, like I feel, like God feels, he goes, I don't want you to go through that. He didn't plan that that was the way. He doesn't want us to go through those sorts of things. That's why one of the key parts of his ministry is healing. That's why one of the key parts of his ministry is releasing from these things that oppress us here on earth. And so today we get to Matthew chapter 8. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. Let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. It's an incredible passage as we look and we see the healings of that Jesus did. This comes straight after, as we've been speaking over the last 3 weeks, this Sermon on the Mount. He's in the northern side of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and he's near a town called Capernaum, and he's just been sharing some of these interesting Kingdom of God truths, this upside-down world truths. He's been rocking the world of some of their understandings. He's been speaking with incredible authority, unlike anybody had spoken before, unlike the teachers of the Lord. He shared this level of authority and this teaching that was unlike anything else. And it had started to make some significant cultural shifts in that community. People had started to hear what Jesus had to say. And as Jesus came down from the mountainside, Matthew records these three interesting, distinct, and different healings, all showing that spiritual encounters with Jesus can result in healing, all demonstrating the healing power of an encounter with Jesus can have. The first one is this man who had leprosy. Now, leprosy is an interesting disease. Some of you would be aware, as there are a few lepers in the Bible, and we understand that sort of from a biblical perspective. But it's not something we experience in our day. It's not something we have a group of lepers that just live in a community outside Rockhampton. It's not what happened. But it's what happened at the time of Jesus. If you had a skin disease like leprosy, you were excluded from the community. You had to walk around and you had to declare that you were unclean. But it was probably pretty obvious, with all the scaling sores on you, thickened spots, ulcers that were on your body. The fact that you were probably quite pale in color, your skin loses its color, and you looked quite sick. So it's probably obvious that you had leprosy. But there were many that were just excluded from the community with this awful disease, unable to find a cure, unable to be cured by any medicine or anything like that. And you would think most lepers, as they got leprosy, would just be excluded. You'd think they would just give up. If you've got leprosy, there's no way you can actually be healed. There's no way that you can actually get any sort of help. You get stuck in this community. You can't even speak with other people. If you're walking with someone, you have to declare that you're unclean. You get excluded from the community of faith. You'd think that as anybody in that sort of community, you'd simply just wave up your white flag of surrender and just give up on life. Just give up. Why do anything? Just surrender. Just give up. Not this man. Clearly the word about Jesus and his healings early on in the ministry started to come to fruition. Clearly this community had started to hear. That doesn't say that a crowd of lepers came. It didn't say that the whole community came. In that community group that was outside, there was one man that came to Jesus. One man that took a significant cultural risk he was excluded from the society because of his disease. He shouldn't have gone out. He shouldn't have come anywhere near any crowds of people. Remember, as they came down the mountainside, people continued to follow him. There's crowds of people. He shouldn't have been there. You can imagine the looks that he got. You can imagine what people were saying about him. But he took a risk to come to Jesus. And he didn't just come to Jesus and yell at him from a distance, going, "Jesus, can you come and heal me? I can't go over there because there's a crowd." No. It says he came at the feet of Jesus, and he came and knelt before Jesus, close enough to be touched by Jesus. He took a significant risk, and he said, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean." It says that Jesus reached out his hand. Leprosy transfers by contact, skin contact. You don't touch someone with this disease. He reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus said, "I am willing. Be clean." Says that his disease, he was immediately cleaned. It fell off like scales. Immediately cleaned. It was quite visible that this guy had been healed. He was immediately cleaned and healed by the power and authority that flowed through Jesus. By the Holy Spirit. And Jesus commanded him to go to the priest and to offer the gift according to Moses. Now, does anybody know what the ceremonial cleansing rites are according to Moses? Anybody? No good. I didn't know either. But if you head to Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 to 32, I won't read them out because that's a significant chunk. It goes through the extent that you have to do in order to be declared clean. In order to be declared clean. You see, Jesus simply already declared this man clean. He was already clean in the community just by a simple word. But he asked him to do this act as a testimony to what Jesus had done there. Now, it's extensive. This cleaning ceremony, there's priests examining you outside the camp. They're recognizing you being cleaned. There's many days that you sit outside the camp. You need clean birds, you need some cedar wood, you need scarlet yarn, you need birds. Some are killed over fresh water. There's a clay pot involved. There's something that with the hyssop done 7 times in this healing. There as well, and this is all outside in the wilderness. They release a live bird into the open fields. Now, then if you look and you are clean, there's a washing of clothes. You have to shave off all your hair. You have to bathe with water. And then finally, you're allowed to come inside the camp. But you're not allowed to go in anybody's house. You're not allowed to go in any tent. For 7 days, you have to stay outside still. There's 2 male lambs. There's a female lamb. There's flour, olive oil, grain offering, guilt offering, sin offering. There's atonement being made. There's a burnt offering and a grain offering. It's extensive. It's gift. In order to declare and demonstrate the power and authority of Jesus. All this to show to the priest, to show to those in that community that when you spiritually encounter Jesus, this can result in healing. To show that this guy didn't give up. He doesn't get a name in the Bible. Some people are named. This guy doesn't get a name. He's just a man. A man that took a risk and didn't give up. He came to Jesus and received healing. The next story in here is this centurion's servant. a centurion, who is a Gentile, who is not a Jew, a centurion who is a Roman citizen, came to Jesus asking for help. Once again, taking a significant risk. Once again, this is not what you do in society, just the same as the leper. Roman centurions don't go and talk to significant Jewish people. It just doesn't happen. They don't go and talk to this. They don't come and ask Jews for help. They are the Roman oppressing nation. They're the ones with all the power and authority in that land. A centurion does not go. A centurion who's in charge of various people, he is a man with authority himself, does not go to Jesus. This guy is different. This guy doesn't just go to Jesus, but he also recognizes who Jesus is. It seems like this guy is actually already a follower of God, a follower of Jesus. Because as he comes to him, he declares that Jesus is Lord. He calls him Lord. It's clear there in the passage. And he also, this centurion, he cared for his servants. He cared for the servants, those people that he looked after. He cared for them. He had a servant there that was suffering terribly, that was paralyzed. Now, I don't know what it means or have ever experienced the extent of being paralyzed, not being able to walk. I complain if I actually get a sore knee and have to scale the stairs here at church. I couldn't imagine what it would be to be in a wheelchair. And not simply be in a wheelchair, but to be paralyzed. We don't know the extent of this man's paralysis. Maybe he was paralyzed from the neck down. He couldn't use any of his hands and legs. I couldn't imagine the extent. And not only was he paralyzed, but he was suffering terribly. This is in an era and a culture without any government funding, without any NDIS support or carers to come and help you. You had to rely on the generous heart of good people. And as a servant who was suffering terribly, he was clearly the lowest of this society. He was not someone that people would care for. And yet this centurion cared enough to go against the cultural norm. Has a heart similar to Jesus, sees his servant suffering, and he makes his way to Jesus and pleads on behalf of his servant for Jesus to heal him. He asks, "Will you heal?" So he doesn't even really ask. He kind of comes to him, recognizes the healing and power and authority of Jesus. And Jesus offers to heal. Shall I come and heal him? Shall I come? If you met Jesus and you had someone suffering and paralyzed, of course I've come to you for healing. But you see, this is the heart of Jesus. Jesus wants to see people healed. He wants to see people released from their struggle. Section there that demonstrates the faith of the centurion. He knows that the power and authority of Jesus, that Jesus doesn't even have to be present in a physical location and touch someone for them to be healed. He understands the authority that Jesus has, the authority to heal by just saying. This demonstrates the great faith. Go, let it be done as you will. centurion didn't give up. He didn't raise a white flag. He found a way in which his servant could be healed. And that was what happened. And again, this third encounter, Peter's modeling. It's a strange encounter. It's different than the other ones here as well. They came in Capernaum and went to Peter's house. And his mother-in-law was sick there with a fever. We don't know how bad the fever was. It might have been a little fever. Maybe they were just letting the fever pass. Peter's a disciple of Jesus. Like, he knows and he's experienced and seen the power and authority of Jesus. And so maybe Peter's thinking, oh, I won't worry Jesus. You know, my mother-in-law, she's not paralyzed. She's not suffering terribly. It's just a fever. It will just pass. It'll be right. I won't come and bother Jesus with these things. He's too busy doing the other things, doing the big healings, healing the man with leprosy, doing the other things. He's too busy preaching and teaching. But as Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law was sick in bed. Imagine the heartbreak of Jesus to see someone who's sick. So he makes it his priority to go in there. Touches her on the hand, and she was healed instantly. Not only she was healed instantly, she began to wait upon them and to do her role in that and start serving them tea. Jesus so lazy that he just couldn't make his own cup of tea. Took an opportunity and then thought, oh, I'll just heal. Often think about that. Demonstrates the heart of Jesus and sees someone who's sick and he heals them. And it says in just a small passage there that many who were possessed, many who were sick, came to Jesus and were healed. Now we know the author of Matthew loves numbers. We know the author of Matthew loves capturing how many people were there, how many people actually happened to be. What happened there? Here, he doesn't capture any number. He just puts many. How many people came and were healed that Matthew couldn't even record the amount of people that were there? It could have been a small amount. It could have just been just so many people came to Jesus and were healed and were oppressed. They couldn't actually record. Couldn't actually keep count and tally of what actually happened as people came to Jesus. Is and continues to be the role of Jesus. So what does this show us about him? We know that when we ask in faith and we pray and come to Jesus, we know that he can heal. We also have experienced the elders that journey with people. We've all journeyed with someone who's asked Jesus for healing. So as we hear these stories, you know, it excites us, the power and authority of healing. But these stories don't capture those who weren't healed. But what does this show us about those who were? The first of the two encounters, both of those people, the centurion for his servant and the man with leprosy, both didn't give up. Both of them took a risk with Jesus that was countercultural, that was against the religious practices of the day, was against anything that they should have done, and came to Jesus. They took a risk. It was a step of faith for both of them. It didn't matter how much faith the centurion had, he was considered a man of great faith, it still took a risk and took an intentional decision for him to come to Jesus. And to step forward that I as well. It's countercultural to ask for him. It's countercultural and counter to ask for him. You know, if you're sick or you've got something that's wrong, you go to the doctor. You know, you go somewhere else for that. Maybe I don't go up and ask for healing. It requires a risk. Excuse me. But God can heal. And the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, it's interesting. It wasn't just an act of mercy from Jesus. Why would such a small thing. It could have been such a small thing. Sometimes when we come to Jesus and we ask for healing, we think, oh, I can't bring my small things to Jesus. That's just a niggling thing. A few months ago, just kind of, with normal movement, had a pain that just appeared just underneath my knee. It was just slightly annoying, but not enough to really get a check out. It was just a little and annoying. And for a couple of months, I just left it and just kind of rested it, made sure I didn't do any exercise that pushed it beyond its bounds. But in about the third month of having this little bit of pain, it started to get worse. We went on holidays and it got a little bit worse again. And then when I came back to work, scaling the stairs to their offices was quite painful. Not excruciating pain, but just enough that I'm going, this is not getting any better. I prayed at home and then asked God to remove it and heal it, but it just didn't go away. And so it got to a point where for some of our basketball players, the basketball season is coming up. And it kills your knees, basketball. And I didn't want to have any significant injury. And so I'm starting to think, it's not getting any better. I went to the doctors and they said, oh, you've got to get like an ultrasound and that sort of thing. It's not going to do anything, but we're just going to mask the pain. And so I finally got to the point, and as an elder of the church, sometimes with the little things, and even you might be thinking the same thing, you're going, why go to the elders and pastors of the church, ask for prayer for something so small? It's just a niggling little bit of pain. Not excruciating. I can still walk. I can still go upstairs, even though I was a bit slower. But I could still do it. Why ask for healing or pain for release of this pain? And so I finally got over myself. And we meet with the elders regularly and pray. Like, it's not as if it's out of my way to ask me for healing. And so I finally, a couple of elders after our elders meeting, I said, I need you to pray for this. Can you just pray over me? Simple little prayer. It didn't seem like it's something that we should bring to the elders. But I was convicted. I need to do that. We should bring all pains. You see, because James teaches this. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them, and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I know and I understand these words, but sometimes when you read that if anyone is among you sick, you think of the severe sicknesses. Think of the sicknesses that are quite severe. You go, my knee is not severe sickness, it's just a pain. And so I finally got over myself knowing that and said, okay, I'll ask for you. And so they prayed. There was no instant healing. But within a week, I started to notice the pain had gone. It's gone. And I'm slowly testing it, slowly doing a little bit more exercise. And I can walk today without any God healing. It wasn't a big thing. I didn't have leprosy. The little things. As I came and asked and received prayer. And I can't similar. It was just a little thing. But there are sometimes lots of little things that plague us. And I know there are people who are journeying this loss that we're in that church with just little things that are just plaguing us, that are just affecting us just a little bit. Not enough to, you know, to kind of get it checked out, but just a little bit. And it actually affects the ministry that God's given us. Just slightly annoyed. And I can't help here that Jesus healed Peter's mother so that there would be a sense of freedom to allow Peter to fulfill his call as a disciple. Without anyone. It's almost a relation. So how do we respond? Reading this, how do we respond today as a church? If you're sick, oppressed, injured, or you know someone who is sick and injured and oppressed, come to Jesus. Ask for healing today. You know, invite the elders and some others to come down the front now and make their way down. If you know someone who is sick, or if you are sick or you're oppressed or you're feeling something that you just go, I just need to come before Jesus. We are here to pray for you today. Don't leave it. Don't think, oh, it's just so small and niggling. I shouldn't do that. Don't wait for months like I did. Come and ask for prayer and healing today. Because we know that spiritual encounters with Jesus can result in healing. Spiritual encounters with Jesus can result in healing. So today, come and have a spiritual encounter. Come and ask, present to Jesus what you are struggling with. And we, as the elders, those significant people in our church, want to pray with you, pray over you, and ask God to heal, to take a risk today. Bring it up. Take a risk. Invite the worship team up here and we're going to pray and you know, the elders to stand up against the stage here and others. Come forward. Come forward in this last song. Come and ask for healing. Come to us down the front here. You know, line up if you have.